Hey, and welcome to FutureThinkers.org, a podcast about the evolution of technology, society, and consciousness. I'm Mike Gilliland.
And I'm Yuvia Ivanova. If you're new to the show and you want to get a list of our favorite books, popular episodes, and to join our community, go to FutureThinkers.org/start. All Future Thinkers episodes are now on video. To watch the premiere of each episode and join the discussion live, subscribe to our YouTube channel at FutureThinkers.org/YouTube.
Hey guys, and welcome to the second episode of our series on Jungian archetypes for the feminine.
So today we're talking about the Amazon. She is the feminine version of the warrior, you could say. And she's probably the most masculine of all the feminine archetypes.
I find this one is interesting too, because it's one of the only archetypes for the feminine that has the most to do with any of the masculine ones. The other ones are like completely different. And they're different because of the kind of nature initiation versus self-initiation that is typical of the masculine archetypes.
Yeah. And so actually in some of the older frameworks, this archetype wasn't even included because it's not a typical feminine archetype, but I think it's really relevant in our modern world. So that's why we chose to include it.
Mm-hmm. So let's start with the childhood version.
So the childhood version of the Amazon is the explorer child. So this is a girl who is very curious, very exploratory. She's driven. She wants to go outside of her comfort zone. You know, she will go and play outside of the kind of allotted area that parents have provided for her. She will often try to succeed a lot in school and be top of her class. She might join some sports, maybe even something that only boys are in, that, you know, like hockey or karate. And she's just generally very independent and doesn't really care what other people think of her.
So in other words, you.
Yeah, I was definitely this kind of kid. Even when I played with kids, I played with boys more than girls. And I played with sticks and trucks and like building things out of mud and, you know. Yeah.
So the childhood Amazon in her shadow, her active shadow, is kind of like the bossy girl. She's Hermione Granger from Harry Potter.
Yeah, so she can be a know-it-all. If somebody says something factually wrong, she'll correct them and go, well, actually, blah, blah, blah.
And what she ends up doing is alienating everyone around her.
Yeah, or people might just get annoyed because she knows everything and they feel incompetent comparing to her. But this often comes from an insecurity because maybe that's the only area in her life that she is recognized in. And, you know, maybe boys don't pay much attention to her, or her parents don't pay much attention to her, or she doesn't get the typical encouragement that girls get by, you know, saying, oh, you're so cute or so pretty. And so they put all of their energy into competing in one area and, you know, they really try to assert that. Mm-hmm. And so they can be a bit overbearing. Or, you know, if they don't get the grade they want in school, they might get really upset and complain to the teacher. Or if they don't win a competition that they thought they were going to win, they might claim that it was unfair because they just place so much of their identity into this role that when they don't meet their own expectations, they feel like they're nothing.
And then we have the pushover, which is the young girl who lacks confidence, who's been taught that children should be seen and not heard.
Yeah.
So what do you have to say about this one?
She might be bullied by others. She might not stand up for herself or not have very clear boundaries. And as with a lot of the shadow archetypes, the active and the passive polarity kind of play off of each other. So sometimes a girl might be really bossy in one area of her life and a pushover in another. So for example, if she has a really overbearing or abusive parent, she might be a pushover there, but then in school, she is the bossy girl. So, you know, kind of a lack in one area manifests as an overabundance in the other area.
So when she grows up and she becomes the Amazon in her fullest, well, I know there's a different kind of set of stages for the feminine archetypes, but when she becomes the Amazon, what does she look like? What are some of her traits?
Well, she's really confident and driven and goal-oriented. So these women often end up being very career-focused. And so the Amazon is interesting because she's more focused on ideas than people. So she values, a lot of the time she values her life goals and ambitions above relationships, which is generally a masculine trait. Whereas other feminine archetypes are often more relationship focused. And so she might be really type A, but not necessarily. The main idea is that she's very confident and driven. And she's also very adventurous. So she'll go out and explore things that other people haven't explored, or maybe areas that are normally reserved for men. So we'll find these kinds of women in the military a lot, or in politics, or in sports. They might become, you know, weightlifters or astronauts, or these kinds of professions that are not traditional feminine professions. Lawyers, judges, politicians, that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Athletes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the Amazon wants to, she cares deeply about causes. She wants to make a difference in the world. She's kind of like the Princess Leia character trying to defend her people from, you know, the Emperor and Darth Vader. So she's very, very motivated by causes.
Yeah. So we often see these women in politics or in activism, where they're championing a cause, often trying to defend those who are weaker. So this could be women or children or some other group that is really oppressed. And but this can also manifest as a shadow version, where they might become overly zealous in their fight, or might start fighting for a group that is very small or a group that isn't really oppressed.
Yeah, they can become kind of a bully too, where they prioritize their own ideas over other people's, and they kind of walk over people.
Mm-hmm.
So the active shadow is called the vigilante.
Yeah, and so she's overly aggressive, kind of invasive. She might push people's boundaries unnecessarily. She might think that her cause is more important than other people's causes. She might, you know, start tearing down existing structures that don't need to be torn down. And so we see this kind of behavior with some activists who get a little bit too excited about their cause. And for example, some of these activists protesting Jordan Peterson's ideas, you know, they're trying to say that because something offensive, it should just completely be wiped off of the face of the earth.
Yeah, it's a mix of the passive shadow of the mother and the active shadow of the Amazon. So overly protecting all of society and then actively fighting anyone who looks like they might be the oppressor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so another aspect of this active shadow is that the woman might be so focused on her career goals that she will just step over people to do it, and might use and manipulate people to get to the top. And she might also be really overbearing in work environments, where she will just shut down everybody's ideas and try to promote her own. She might feel like she's superior to other people. She might even feel like she's not really a woman, like she's one of the boys and, you know, she's the strong one and all the other women are weak.
Yeah, there's definitely this embedded feeling of superiority with her and other women.
Yeah. And so in, you know, in some extreme manifestations, she can even start fighting against women's rights, because she might feel that, you know, women are weak and they deserve to be subjugated, except for the special ones like her. And so we can see, you know, women fighting against feminism, fighting against abortion rights, you know, extreme pro-lifers.
And this is not just anyone, though. We should be clear. There's a lot of people who are kind of actively fighting against the, you know, the far left and the oversensitization, censorship, this sort of thing, because it's common sense, because they understand that creating helicopter parents create very fragile children, which, you know, results in what we have today. As well, we're not producing anti-fragile children, people who can benefit from the increased exposure to danger and risk and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So people who are criticizing the left movement from that standpoint are not what you're exactly describing here.
No, I'm describing the far, far left activists and the far, far right activists, basically mm-hmm. the extremists mm-hmm. who are not seeing the world clearly. And that's another actually trait of the shadow, the overactive shadow of the Amazon, is that she has the energy to fight, but she doesn't have the clarity or the discipline or the emotional intelligence to understand the situation, really. Mm-hmm.
So what about the passive shadow?
So the passive shadow is the victim. So she might not have very strong boundaries. She might get constantly walked all over. She might not know how to fight or stand up for herself.
She's often disabled by her fears.
Yeah, disabled by her fears. She might feel incompetent or ineffectual. And this is often a result of trauma, because maybe she got, you know, abused in her childhood or in her youth. And so she has kind of this wound where she becomes, because of it, she becomes incapacitated. And sometimes, as you know, as with the childhood version, the two shadow polarities play off of each other. So in some situations, she might be very ineffectual and kind of have poor boundaries. But then in other situations, she might be really overbearing and, you know, kind of step all over people.
So as we wrap up the shadow version, I'm interested to talk about how the feminine archetypes kind of overlap or compare with the masculine archetypes, because in a lot of cases, they don't really. Mm-hmm. But this is one in specific that does. So in my view, it's like, if you want to go the traditional route of being a natural woman, a woman who raises children and, you know, does the kind of like natural path of life, there's a lot of feminine archetypes that apply to that can help you be better at that. If you want to, you know, do exactly what we've described with the Amazon, be a career woman, go out there, get it all for yourself, then it kind of seems like a lot more of the masculine archetypes can apply and can be very useful as well. So I think there was a comment recently that there was a misunderstanding about what the archetypes and the genders were for. And what was your response to that?
Well, my response was that the frameworks that we're using do divide the archetypes into masculine and feminine, but that doesn't mean that they're male and female.
Yeah.
So a woman can embody a masculine archetype and a man can embody a feminine archetype, but we refer to them by he and she just to make it easier.
Yeah.
Because, well, first of all, that's the literature that we're using to base this discussion off of. And secondly, I just don't think it's such a big deal. People get really, really sensitive about these gender pronouns, and I just don't think it's such a big deal. I mean, well, because you can't encapsulate everyone. You know, I might watch a movie that has a male black superhero and they might embody a lot of the qualities that I see in myself, but I'm not going to be offended that it doesn't, you know, the hero doesn't look like me. Mm-hmm. So to me, I understand that things are symbolic, that when you say something, it doesn't mean that it's written in stone. You can apply anything you want to yourself. And that, I think it's up to you to be mentally flexible and be able to use different frameworks from around you. It's not up to the people creating those frameworks to make it fit everybody.
Yeah. Yeah, I completely agree. So, okay, we've talked about the shadows. We've talked about the adult version. Let's go to what the Amazon looks like in popular media and kind of folklore and that sort of thing.
Oh, yeah, there are so many good ones. Literally, if you Google badass women in movies, you will get a huge list.
Yeah.
So there's Charlize Theron in pretty much
everything that she ever plays.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's even this movie where she plays a mom, and I'm sure she just like fights crime on the weekends or something in that one.
Yeah. Wonder Woman, Xena the Warrior Princess, Katniss Everdeen, the two lead women in the new Star Trek film or the TV show. Mila Jovovich and a bunch of things.
Everything that she plays too.
Well, almost. Not in the Fifth Element.
Yeah, that's right. Oh no, she gets into the Amazon. Yeah, she definitely does.
At the end, a little bit. Yeah,
she's a warrior.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's a lot of new cartoons out that we haven't really watched a whole lot, but there was that one where she steals the heart of the island gets stolen. What's that one called?
Oh yes, Moana.
Moana, yeah.
Yes, definitely.
What did you think of that one?
I thought it was very interesting. She's definitely the adventurer child, explorer child.
It was interesting because they used all of the archetypes that you would think of in the typical hero's journey, but it seemed like the god, the male god, was like
the
hero.
Yes.
He was the one that was in the old world and then going through a threshold and kind of giving up. And then he got his tool, his hook, you know, brought back knowledge to share. But the whole story, like, he could have been the hero easily in the story, but then it was based on Moana's perspective, which was quite interesting. But she didn't exactly go through the same kind of narrative that the typical hero does.
She didn't really go through a transformation. She was basically just awesome from the beginning. She was a bit of a Mary Sue.
I don't know about that. I don't know if I agree with that.
Well, I think the god character went through more of a transformation than her.
Yeah, but she didn't know how to sail. She sucked at sailing, and then she had to work at that.
So that's pretty much it. But she didn't. So she gained a skill, but she didn't really go through a character transformation. He did.
Yeah. Because
he was like not giving a shit, nihilistic, just kind of a trickster, a bit of an asshole. And then he went through this transformation where he suddenly cared and helped save the world.
That's funny. There is Pocahontas as well. I don't remember that story very well. Mm-hmm.
Or Avatar. Neytiri from Avatar.
Yeah.
It's the same character as well.
Yeah, she doesn't really transform either. See, I think this is what's really missing in hero narratives, where the woman takes the hero narrative but isn't awesome from the start. Like, everyone criticized the new Star Wars movies because Rey was just like immediately good at the Force, just had a quick little flashback, and she was like badass. She was Luke Skywalker. Had to work 0 hours. And yeah, anyone watching that and recognizing the pattern of the hero's journey and why it has value, because it inspires you to work hard, challenge yourself, cross over into the unknown, battle the beast, battle the demon, find the treasure and bring it back. Like, there's just this typical hero's journey that happens every single time in good narratives. And then a lot of the time they're skipping it for women. And like, women want this. Everyone wants this. I love those stories when they're like, it doesn't matter what gender the character is, what race, doesn't matter. As long as they're going through that path and they suck at the beginning and they're conflicted and then they have to go through an initiation. Awesome. That story is always going to work.
Mm-hmm.
But it totally did not work in Star Wars.
Yeah. If you guys listening know any good stories that have a female character that goes through a major transition, and the hero's journey, yeah, please leave it in the comments.
Cool. Anything else we want to say about this one before we wrap up here?
Maybe give some examples of real life women who embody this archetype. So
that's a tough one. Joan of Arc, I guess.
Yeah, Joan of Arc. And modern ones, Oprah, Princess Diana.
Was Hillary Clinton in this category?
Yeah.
I don't know. Sure. To me, she's like the trickster.
Yeah, she's got a bit of a trickster in her, but
she's just a liar. I don't know. Let's not get political. Let's not do that. Oh, Kill Bill. So good. The bride from Kill Bill.
Oh, yes.
Beatrix Kiddo. Mm-hmm. She was so badass.
Yeah.
And she had to go through transformation as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And she had to work hard. Like, remember when she was paralyzed and she had to crawl out of the bed and she got revenge and, you know.
Yeah,
like, and she had to beat her way out of a coffin when she was buried alive.
Yeah, wiggle your toe.
Yeah. That, I mean, that, no wonder that movie worked for so many people. It was so popular.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a good one.
Oh, Ripley. How could we forget Ripley?
Of course, yeah. That's an amazing character.
So I like her because she starts off in the beginning of the movie kind of is this almost motherly character. Like, she's just kind of a non-special character compared to anyone else. She's slightly more motherly, takes care of the crew, and then when shit happens and she has to react, she has to go through a transformation and become a warrior because everyone else is getting killed off and people are making dumb decisions and she has to recognize that and, you know, fix it. And then Aliens, the second one, she had to defend the girl and then she had to go fight the queen. So there was like a lot of transition for her. And I love the narrative too, where she's, you know, trying to, especially in the second one, she's trying to uncover where the alien came from and if she was infected or if someone else was infected, and she had to, you know, do some horrible things to figure out what was actually going wrong, like performing an autopsy on the little girl. And yeah. Anyway, if you guys haven't, you should see it, but if you haven't seen it, then I won't go further.
It's a classic.
Yeah. All right. So one thing I thought was really, really interesting, I don't know if we can dive into it more in the Hetaira one, but just how they diverge, the feminine masculine archetypes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know. Well, I'm curious to ask you because you've spent a lot more time studying this stuff. So, the nature initiation versus the self initiation. Let's talk about that. What does it look like? It's more of a progression for women, right? Like they go from, what's the order, first of all?
It's not clear what the order is. Like it's not as clearly written about in the literature as the one for men.
What would you say if you had to look at all of the archetypes for the feminine, what would you say would be the logical order? Because there is kind of like the mother is the third, the crone or the witch is the last one because you have to be old enough to gather enough wisdom to be able to share it. But then the Hetaira and the Amazon are kind of...
I'm not sure
which one comes first.
If you mean kind of in adulthood, then yeah, it's Amazon, Hetaira, mother, crone.
So it seems like the Amazon is really that divergent path where you kind of, you know, you pick a direction for the rest of your life almost if you're going to be a career woman. But then you can be sidetracked by nature, by getting pregnant, and then you're back on the feminine track again.
Mm-hmm.
So, Yeah. Okay. So I think we have to save a bit more for the Hetaira and the, what are we calling it? The witch?
We'll decide.
Okay. Cool. All right. So of course, all the mentions, all the links and everything will be in the show notes, the description of this video or in the show notes page, which you'll hear about in a second.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. See you in the next one.
Yeah, that's it. Okay. Bye.
This episode is brought to you by Qualia, a nootropic supplement that helps support mental performance and mood. To get 10% off, use the code FUTURE at checkout. And to learn more about neurohacking, visit futurethinkers.org/neuro.
Thanks for tuning in to Future Thinkers. For all the books, resources, and mentions from this episode, go to futurethinkers.org/78. Don't forget to subscribe and hit the bell icon to get notified of new videos. You can also follow us on social media to stay connected. If you'd like to get a t-shirt like the new Make America Think Again, go to futurethinkers.org/store. If you like what we do and you want to help us make more podcasts and videos, consider donating or becoming a patron at futurethinkers.org/support. Also visit our sponsor Qualia and use the coupon code FUTURE to get 10% off your purchase.